More than 60 years ago, when I was about 8 or 9, I don't remember the precise date, but I remember the day, and it was in Kew at a place, a funny place called the People's Church Kew. Now, that name always amused me. So we're talking about the 1950s, early 60s, the People's Church. This is the height of the Cold War period, communism, you know, the people's movement. And it seemed always to me to be a funny juxtaposition. The People's Republic of, the People's Church. It sounded like, okay, this is interesting. Anyway, it was one morning, we were just having communion as we regularly did. It was a continuing sort of Methodist situation. And all of a sudden I had the realization sitting there that I didn't know Jesus. I didn't belong to Jesus. And my family did. And this 8 or 9 year old started crying, much to the puzzlement of my parents. At any rate, they managed to get out of me that I was a bit upset about my state, my situation in life. And then after the service, the minister there, the Reverend Walter Betts, explained to me in simple terms how I could invite Jesus to be my saviour. And later that afternoon, he spent a bit of time with me and he gave me a verse of the Bible to hold as my own. It's a very well-known verse, John 3:16. Can anyone tell me what John 3:16 says? Put your hand up. Liz, would you like in a loud voice to, can you actually recite it from memory? But have eternal life, yes. So that was the verse, and I've held that over the years, you can imagine. As many of you who likewise should hold that as a lovely verse. And I just wanted to spend a few minutes today looking at this verse.
Do you mind repeating it in a louder voice?
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believed in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And it's just a few things about this verse that I'd like to reflect with you on. Because it's extremely well known, isn't it? And yet, there's a depth to this verse that sometimes we miss. In our world, many people see the God of the Bible as puzzling. What is the core of this God? Is he an angry God? Is he a distant God? Is he a close God? Is he a loving God? What is he? Amongst you, if you mix with the wider community, and sometimes even in the Christian community, there's a little bit of confusion. What is at the core of this God of the Bible? What's he really like? I would suggest to you that this verse simply catches the core of this God that we seek to worship. For God so much loved the world that he gave his Son. We've just been through Christmas and we've reflected on the amazing reality of incarnation, that the eternal second person of the Trinity actually took upon himself fully our humanity, our flesh. He became mortal. The immortal one became mortal and actually died. We're approaching Easter very soon. That is staggering. That is utterly staggering. How much does God love? That much. To what is that love directed? To the world. That world, that word, I'll get myself tongue-tied here, that word world, I had to think about that, in the Greek is kosmon, which is a form of the word cosmos. Does that ring any bells for you? Cosmos? Will anyone tell me what bell it rings for you? Well, yes, the universe, the whole creation, the world. Actually, in the Greek, the word cosmos has a whole range of possible meanings. It basically points to order. So it could be government order. It could be all of humanity. It could be the earth as we know. It can be the universe. So we know that the Russian space program is, they use the word cosmos. And what are there, the people who go into space, the Russian? Cosmonauts. And we use it, the cosmos, in some of our language, cosmopolitan. So it has a wide range of meaning. In the context of this verse, it first of all points to humanity because it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that whoever believes..." So it's pointing to humanity in the first instance. God's love is directed to humanity to such an extent that he gave his Son, his eternal Son, for us and to us. But we know, however you might read the creation account, those first two chapters of the Bible, that the whole of the creation God thought was good. It was good. And then he got around to humanity. We would probably laugh at this when we look at humanity today, but then he said it was very good. Finally, God's love is extended to all that he has made. So it's no big surprise to find in Romans 8 that the whole creation that is subject at the moment to frustration is looking forward to the revelation of the sons of man, of the redeemed people, though, so that it too may share in the redemption, be liberated from the frustration. God's plan is universal, but it begins with us, his special creation, humanity. God gave. So what is the fundamental position of God? God loves. God loves. There's issues of judgment, all the rest of it, and they're not irrelevant. But we need to hold on to what is core in the revelation. As it says elsewhere, God is love. That's the core. And God loves all that he has made. And he has sought to redeem it by sending, incredibly, his only Son. And the consequence of that is the next little part of that verse, that whosoever, without limitation, it is a whosoever. A whosoever. We have to be careful in our working with people that we don't put little tests and barriers in the way. Oh yes, but you're that sort of person. Oh, you come from that place. Or you have that religion. Oh, you're an atheist. Because God doesn't put those barriers up at all. It is a whosoever will believe. And the last part of this verse that I would like to just briefly touch on is this idea of eternal life. Living life forever instead of 70, I'm up to 70 years, I'm 70. So my time's up, I'm on borrowed time from now on. Is that how it works? Maybe. Yeah, we're used to thinking of life in those sorts of terms. Can I pose it a different way? That God wants to share with us his quality of life. Not just his quantity of life, but his quality of life. It is about actually sharing God's life. As mortals, we know we are born, we live, we die. Yes? An inescapable fact. And yet in the midst of this life, God wants to share with us his eternal life. It is actually about sharing, and certainly it's true that we don't have life without God. Is that true? Yeah, we're sitting here, we're listening, or maybe going to sleep, maybe. When will they finish? But we're breathing, our heart is beating, our brain cells are functioning, everything else is working, hopefully, pretty much any rate. And that's all because of God. God is, we're told that Jesus sustains all things. So we are being sustained by God right at this moment. We have breath. We have consciousness, which is in itself a mysterious thing. All because of God. But there's the possibility that we've entered into, if we've come to faith in Jesus, of actually sharing without end life from and life with God. Now, I don't know about you, but that's quite mind-bending. And I don't fully understand that, what that can be like. But that's the invitation. We may not be able to fully understand it, but this is what's on the table as the offer. This is the core of the message that we bring, that before we bring it to others, that we take hold of and we deepen in our appreciation of that God is love. He loved me, loved you, so much that he sent his son. He couldn't love any more. Impossible for him to love any more. So that we might freely, anyone might freely, take this gift and to begin to share with God his life. Not just in quantity, but in quality. Now, I don't know about you, but if I wasn't a Christian, if I hadn't been brought up in a church and, you know, embraced all this, I'd find that a little bit, oh, you've got to be joking. Yeah? Can't be true. Too good to be true. We need to understand that for folk, many people in our community, this is just, oh, you've got to be joking. You Yet it's the message we bring, and hopefully it's the message that has so captured us, that there is something in us that makes people think about again about something that they would simply dismiss as a fairy tale. So let us walk with Christ in such a way that our lives begin to show something of a deeper reality, so that the words that we say, remember the Spirit of God is involved in this, the Spirit of Christ, begins to strike more deeply. But it needs to strike our hearts deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper first, or else it'll just come out as trite from us. So let's dive deeply into the reality of John 3:16. And with joy and peace and wonder, live and walk amongst those with whom God has placed us. May God bless you in your continued journey until you too, with me, thanks be to God, meet in His presence. All praise to Him.